All right, part two of our Locked On Big 12 crossover. Tonight we are brought to you all by NetSuite from Oracle, number one financial service, helping small businesses right now. So make sure you guys make the switch over to NetSuite by Oracle. I am Josh Neighbors of Locked On Big 12. To my right, it is Jake Hatch of Locked On Cougars. Below him, it is John Williams of Locked On Sooners. And to his left, below me, it is Stephen Simcox of Locked On Horned Frogs. We'll not do no video entrance here because, you know, the topic's talking about here. Semi-serious. We're trying to keep it somewhat light with our Christmas hats going on right now. But the big thing happening across all of sports right now is the reemergence of COVID, and especially the Omicron variant. Now, we don't take any pleasure in talking about this, but it is affecting a lot of the sports that we love. NHL has decided to go on pause. And also, if you're like me, I love watching the Winter Olympics, especially the hockey. Hated it last time. You know why? No NHL players involved. Well, not the same case again. Probably for the best. NHL says no, our players are not playing in that. Right now, there's a lot of postponements in college hoops. And also, if you're an NBA fan, you're probably seeing a lot of names you don't recognize, or you're like, oh my God, he's on an NBA team. I haven't seen his name in a long while. It's good to see him back in the league. You know, whether you're a fan of Wendon Gabriel or you enjoy watching David Duke score however many points the fourth quarter for the Nets the other night, that's happening. Well,
hey, Isaiah Thomas is back.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Isaiah Thomas with his fat cheeks is back. Former Wizard. Go Isaiah Thomas. And then also now, an NFL too has been ravaged by him. I mean, I'm sure you guys saw. I just got done watching my WFT play with Garrett Gilbert. So there's your Big 12 tie right there, playing quarterback. Signed him off the street a few days ago. And also, the tough part about that is, like, they're fighting for a playoff spot, right? You think with Taylor Heineke in there, competitive shot, Eagles, real game. Well, it's Garrett Gilbert. They signed him on Thursday. So how competitive is it? And a lot of teams going through this right now in college football. A&M has gone on pause and Miami has gone on pause. So now we're kind of switch our focus now towards playoffs, and not just for college, but for pro too, coming up here. John, you work in an ICU. Just tell us what you're observing right now. And as somebody who's observing that and somebody who covers college football, kind of what are your thoughts as we head into this time where things feel a bit safer than normal, but tenuous because of how many people are testing positive?
Yeah, so we're in a weird spot this year as compared to last year. You know, last year, I think everybody was still a bit on alert, still kind of following precautions, you know, wearing masks. This was, you know, a year ago, we didn't have the vaccine. The vaccine was just about to roll out. I think I got my first shot like after Christmas. And so we were in a much different place a year ago. Even when, you know, my ICUs were still full of COVID, I had to flip to nights to help cover because we were so short staffed. We were losing people to really exorbitant travel contracts to go to bigger hospitals who were really in need of nurses. And so we're not seeing the numbers in my ICUs that are in a rural setting in Eastern Oklahoma. We're not seeing the same numbers yet. But we're starting to see it again. It's popping up more and more just as the weeks go by. And like, we got a transfer in from, you know, out of the state last week or 2 weeks ago. And it's the Omicron variant, and it's from unvaccinated individuals that are the ones that are presenting to our ICUs. And yeah, it's just one of those situations where it's, I think people have been so burned out on the precautionary aspect of it, that it's just kind of let go. Some of it is just the ebb and flow of life, I think, has just allowed it to kind of wane in people's thoughts, where it's not as much at the forefront of people's kind of daily conversations or thought process anymore. And so I think that's why we're starting to see even like this really quick outbreak in various cities across the country, where maybe a year ago, it was still kind of steady almost. Like it wasn't just like, you know, maybe in the summer a year ago, it was kind of 0 to 50 in a matter of seconds. But then through the fall and winter time, it was just kind of this steady infection rate, if so to speak. But yeah, it's really interesting to see. And I've been off for a few days, and so I'm always curious when I go back, like how many more COVID patients do we have? But it's definitely increasing. It's just at the moment we're not necessarily seeing the same severity, but it's still early on in the process. And I mean, a lot of the people that were susceptible to COVID aren't with us anymore. You know, they've passed on. The people who were going to have very serious side effects to it, we've already lost them. Now it's the folks that aren't taking precautions and aren't vaccinated that fall into that next kind of risk category that we're starting to see catch COVID and have complications related to it.
And so I want to stick with you here, because obviously you have the most experience with it, you know, with this out of all of us. But it has been my opinion that obviously this is going to be an ongoing thing. And to me, you know, when I hear about a lot of these guys who are vaccinated and with boosters as well, who are not showing signs of symptoms, to me, I think those guys should be allowed to compete in athletics. Obviously, you know, the one kind of drawback line is, well, do we know any long-term effects? I don't know, but I feel like fully vaccinated asymptomatic players should be allowed to continue, you know, playing. I know the people who are unvaccinated kind of throw the wrench into all of it, right? That's kind of the one thing. You know, your Montez Sweats of the world kind of throw a wrench into all this entire situation. But when somebody says a claim like that, like the one I just made, you know, am I off from your observations or, you know, from obviously the science and whatnot? Are you kind of trending towards that? Because we're going to have to live with this for a long time, it seems like, and variants will pop up and things of this nature will pop up.
It's tough. You know, it's hard to say exactly what the kind of pre-transmission period can be. You know, is it several days? You know, we're seeing with previous variants that you could still pass on the pass on the virus before ever showing signs of symptoms, And so that's just one of the things, like we're seeing people test positive the day after games this last weekend.
Yes,
you know, too. Like now we have the Kansas City Chiefs who just played a game a few days ago, now have people testing positive. We had people play on Sunday who are testing positive now. It's like, so at what point do we kind of go by that theory? Like, if you're asymptomatic, can you play in games? Do we make sure everybody tests positive before a game, before playing the game? I mean, there's so many working parts in this, and there's so many just different stakeholders in this, from the players to the owners to the advertisers to the networks to the people working concessions and parking and, you know, helping people find their seats. Like, it's the tax base of the various cities that are involved. It's very intricate, and I don't really have one answer for it, because it's way above my pay grade, way above just my ability to speak to. Cause I mean, I know what I see, and I see people who seemingly wouldn't suffer otherwise, but are struggling, you know. So we had a guy that, you know, I took care of a year ago in our ICU. He took several months to recover, and, you know, he's still kind of having some effects from it today.
Right.
And not an older guy, not a guy with a lot of severe complications, but I mean, there are people that are still kind of having these lingering side effects or complications related to the COVID. A good buddy of mine, you know, it took him 4 or 5 months to just get out of rehab from his initial ICU stay. And so it's like, it's hitting people, even people that don't have pre-existing health conditions, but are maybe just a little bit overweight. You know, like you don't have to have diabetes, you don't have to have asthma or COPD to suffer serious side effects or serious complications due to COVID. It can hit anybody.
Yeah. And that's what my concern is, you know, with asymptomatic guys, like that would be the thing. It's like, hey, does it hit them down the line? Does it hit them after the season's over? Something like that. Quick word here from our friends at NetSuite by Oracle. Guys, the best way, if you're running a business right now, this is, you got to switch here. I mean, 28,000 businesses. have already gone over to NetSuite from Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system to power your growth with visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. Right now with NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of survey businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. So once again, head to netsuite.com/locked, LOCKED, for this special one-of-a-kind financial offer right now, netsuite.com/locked. So Jake, I'll go to you on this too. Are you shocked the NFL, or would you be shocked if after this season the NFL to kind of make sure this thing doesn't affect them as much next year, because it feels like it might really this season, might just say, hey, we're putting our foot down. If you're an NFL player, you're getting it. You're getting the shot. You're getting the jab, because we ain't doing this Tuesday, Wednesday. We're not letting our potential revenues be affected. You know, if Dan Snyder is like, look, I don't want to lose money. I could have had a playoff team this year, and Garrett Gilbert had to play for me on a Tuesday night in Philadelphia. I don't want that next year. We're all voting for this thing. Would you be shocked if that happened?
I'd be a little bit shocked. So I think the situation is that you're going to see there are owners out there who are on both sides of the aisle politically. We've got liberals, right. We've got conservatives in NFL ownership. And it's the same thing in the NBA as well. I just feel like these leagues, they are not willing to lose any more money to this pandemic. Whether you think that's abhorrent, whether you think that's right on, whatever you think, it doesn't matter. Their indications are right now that these pro leagues, they refuse to, outside the NHL. The NHL, to their credit, did shut things down. But the other leagues seem like they're hell-bent on making sure that they get these games in. They're going to cash those checks, and come hell or high water, they'll just make do for the time being. So could it happen? Sure. I'm just not betting on it.
Yeah, but I feel like it's the same thing. It's like, why not mandate that? I feel like it's like, look, guys, we can't have these garbage dudes out here anymore. Like, sure. We can't have these ringers. You know, we can't. Well,
I think you're going to see that there are going to be stronger cries for it. I don't know that you'll get the votes necessary from these owners to make that a thing. If that makes sense.
Steven, do you see this kind of conjecture, discourse, I guess you could say, happening amongst the NFL owners and potentially other sports?
I think if there's a league that could make it work, it would be the NFL, just because.
I thought you were going to say NBA. I thought you were going to say NBA.
Well, you know, I think the NBA could, from a political leaning standpoint, yes, of the people in power. I just feel like the NFL is bulletproof when it comes to PR. Like, they'll just swallow. Like, they just tell us, you're going to watch football. Oh yeah. You think this matchup's bad? You're still going to watch it on Thursday night. You think this matchup's bad? You're still going to watch it. Like, we always watch the NFL, whether it's because of betting, because of fantasy, people just watch it. So Goodell says, okay, you know, we kept rolling along with the draft when COVID was probably at its most uncertain. And there were cries that, like, this was insensitive and terrible, and the NFL was just like, no, we're just going to keep going with the offseason. We're going to barrel towards the season. Like, it doesn't matter. We're the NFL. So I could see the NFL saying that. And, you know, I think the other factor of this is, too, I believe it was the NFL that sort of floated this out recently of, hey, we're not going to keep testing asymptomatic vaccinated players. It's sort of, you go one way or the other, right? Like, it's a hand-in-hand thing. It's either you take the stance of, we're going to be forward thinking in the idea of vaccine mandate. Everybody's got to get this. If you want to sit out, that's fine. Like, we believe the power brokers for the most part are going to back us here and they're going to stay with us. Or you heel turn and go the other way, which is like, we just believe at this point there's enough data here that we don't have to be worried about this specific subset of people. And we're not going to keep using these precautions. It's a bizarre thing. Like, I'll tell you, living here in Texas, like, everything's pretty, and I'm not saying this is a good thing, but everyone's sort of going about their business like there's nothing going on. Like, you see the news, you see the players having to sit out, you see the stoppages, but you look around and everybody's walking around Walmart, you know, with without a mask, just sort of going about their business doing their Christmas shopping. So it's this weird dichotomy. And I feel like that is the other challenging thing about this is that different sections of the country are approaching this so differently and feel so strongly about it, that that's the other sort of, you know, back and forth that you're fighting. But if somebody was going to do it, I think the NFL could lead one way or the other with some sort of mandate or on the vaccination or testing, just because they sort of do what they want.
So I think it's weird because I, like, generally speaking, agree with you on the NFL is bulletproof point of view. But, like, how damaging is a Tim Boyle versus Blaine Gabbert NFC championship game, if that makes sense? Like that's – like, because basically at that point in time, you're like, this is a joke. Like this year does not count because Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers were out. So we're going to shove you a little bit of Blaine Gabbert. We'll sprinkle in some Tim Boyle at quarterback and see how you feel about that at Lambeau Field on a, you know, in a January night where you're used to watching the best, you know, Drew Brees take on Rodgers or Drew Brees take on Brady, whatever the matchup should be. That to me might be the point where they say, okay, couple things here. Either one, they go your direction. Well, actually, a few options here. They go your direction and say, hey, look, like, we don't care at this point, right? You know what I mean? Like, hey, asymptomatic, vaccinated, you can play, which I do think happens sometime in the near future. A league will say that. Or they go with the they basically, like, the next season, I mean, just say, all right, mandate, vaccine, NFL team, you're on one. You better be strapped up. Two plus one, two plus two, whatever it is, fourth vaccine, whatever it takes, you better be good to go. Or they just do both, which is, you know, is possible. They could do the, hey, if you're asymptomatic and vaccinated, you can play. Also, we mandate the vaccine as well. I do think there are some situations where if we see games, you know, like, nobody wants – they can't put an NFC championship game on a Tuesday. I mean, they could, but, like, that's – like, that's damaging, man. Like Sunday at 4 o'clock is, like, what you need. Like, Tuesday at 6, Tuesday at 7, Tuesday at 8, like, that's not money. That's anti-money right there. So, to me, I think you're on with some of the stuff, but I do think at some point, football's still bulletproof. But it gets weakened a little bit if you have a situation like you had tonight with a bad quarterback, you know. And just imagine it happens in a playoff situation. Imagine Eagles versus WFT is for the NFC title. That's where it kind of damages it. John, are you with me, or are you saying, nah, I think they're still fine?
I mean, I think ultimately it'll be fine. I mean, I've been watching a lot of Ted Lasso.
Would force the change. I mean, would it facilitate some change?
Yeah, I think one thing that they can really seriously or should seriously look at is just having a bye week between the end of the regular season and the wild card weekend of the playoffs. Mm. Just let everybody start fresh, go through, you know, start with your testing protocols, let everybody get through those protocols and then start the playoffs anew. And then hopefully you get through the playoff situation where you're not having a matchup like you described for the NFC title game or, God forbid, the Super Bowl. I mean, thankfully there's, you know, some time in between the championship game and the Super Bowl where everybody should be able to get cleared. But I don't know, man. Things are wild right now. And, you know, when was like half, it seemed like half of Cleveland's roster was out due to COVID. You're having to go to you know,
Nick Mullins.
Nick Mullins. The 49er legend.
Yeah, it's just getting wild out there. And honestly, like, the Dallas Cowboys, they went virtual for the rest of the week and leading into a big divisional matchup with Washington. And so, you know, everybody's going to have to kind of go about this in their own way. And I think that's kind of one of the flaws in somewhat of the NFL is, like, there's not going to be one overarching kind of policy. It's going to be kind of up to teams to figure out how to manage this themselves at this point. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Jake, what's your concern level as we think about these college football playoffs? Because the upsetting part to me is when I think about, especially, and Georgia, Michigan is considered too, but Cincinnati versus Alabama. I would hate to see a situation where Cincinnati is not at full strength at all. You know, a team like that. Or, you know, I think for some of us who are big G5 fans, that Alabama's not at full strength because we don't want to see I know it's kind of simplifying this, but a built-in excuse for an Alabama to say, we weren't at full strength. Like, we want to see these matchups because this is honestly one of the more compelling CFBs that we've had in a while with these matchups. How concerned are you with that? Because I think in terms of the narrative, health we've established, but in terms of the narrative, this could really damage what's been a narratively very fun year.
And that's the concern right there, is these coaching staffs have got to be just absolutely freaking out, just wondering, okay, what's this day going to bring? What's the next day going to bring? Because we're seeing this Omicron variant just it's wreaking havoc right now. And out this way, the University of Utah, they're going to the Rose Bowl, and there's already concern that California has been very stringent when it comes to COVID protocols and whatnot, that they may lock things down, and fans at bare minimum may not be able to travel for that game. So, yeah, all these coaching staffs, they've got to be just sitting there, okay, fingers crossed, I don't have positive tests, hey, we don't have an outbreak, because you're right. The storylines going into this college football playoff, it's actually one of the fresher storylines we've had in recent years. It's not the same old, it feels like, because Cincinnati got in there. That's the nice part. Georgia's in there. Alabama's in there. I just look at this, and there's an opportunity here to enjoy some new storylines when it comes to these playoffs. I am just hoping to heavens that we do not have COVID-19 wreck it.
Yeah, and Steven, it's weird. If you're a coach, you're thinking, like, there's what's worse? Like, okay, having your college kids on campus doing college kid things, or sending them home to be with their families who they have not seen in a while? It's a legitimate concern, I mean, on both sides, right? Like, what is a kind of situation? And I saw Alabama today. They're giving all their players, and Nick Saban, you know, one of the most diligent guys out there, they're giving their kids COVID-19 packets, and I would love to be in the room for that conversation where he was like, listen, when you all go see your families, enjoy yourselves, but go lock yourselves in your room for most of the day, right? That's kind of what they're saying.
Yeah, I'm sure they were all heeding that advice. it's tough. I mean, I honestly think, especially with winter break going on, it'd probably be safer from a, you know, keeping everybody out of protocols perspective to keep folks on campus, even though I know, you know, obviously college kids can venture out and find some trouble wherever, you know, that might be. But yeah, going home is risky. It's just one of those things where you don't know if Aunt Viv is really down with the vaccine or is down with, you know, social distancing and that kind of thing. And who has strong feelings about this? Like, what have they been exposed to? So it is a legitimate concern. And I feel like ultimately, like, there's maybe some ways around this where they could push the playoff a week, but you only have so much schedule flexibility. So can you keep everybody healthy? And who's going to get the benefit of the doubt in that situation, right? Like, I could see Alabama coming down with some contact tracing issues and the TV partners being like, well, let's wait it out for the tide to make sure they're good to go. I'm not sure Cincinnati gets that treatment if they're having issues. So I would hate to see, any team obviously get downed by that. It's just you want to see these things played out in the field, and you want to see everybody at full strength.
You know, you never know when you walk into Uncle Mike Gundy's house and he's got OAN playing. You're like, uh-oh, Uncle Mikey might not be down with the old vaccine, right?
He's probably not boosted, yeah.
Yeah, he might not be. He don't want any extra jab. Those microchips might be getting him. John, I'll give you kind of the last word on this before we wrap up, just in terms of the CFP and as we head towards that, as you being the foremost expert out of all four of us.
Yeah, I just want to say I think it's still a very serious thing. I even though I'm triple vaxxed, you know, I got my vaccine as soon as I could. I got my booster as soon as I could. Yeah. Three goggles. I do have a bit of a, it's hard for me to say, yes, there should be a vaccine mandate. Mm. In healthcare, we don't mandate that people take their blood pressure medication or their diabetes medication. We don't force it upon them. People still have a right to choice. But then again, the sticky situation is that this is a choice that not only affects the individual, but it affects the community as well. And so it's tough, man. I wish we could get into a situation where we see this as something that's a collective issue and not just an individual issue. because we are a collective, even though our country is probably more divided than, well, I don't want to say ever. It's more divided than I've ever seen.
Right.
I'd like, in the naive self in me and my optimistic self, I would just like to see us get back to a collective mindset where I do care about what happens to you. And I do care that my decisions have consequences that affect my neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully at some point we'll see that. It as a healthcare provider, it frustrates me to see something that is a community health issue become so politicized on both sides of it, man, where it's people who don't get vaccinated don't care about people, or people who do are intelligent and wise. You know, it's like we need to get rid of all of these inflammatory ideas about people and just get back to kind of the heart of the matter. Like, let's just take care of one another. Let's just be for one another and not be against one another.
Well, yeah, that's why it's refreshing to see Nick Saban. You know, they pass out the care kits to every player, right? Vaccinated or not. They had a 90% vaccination rate, but he's saying, hey, all of y'all, stay safe. You know what I mean? And same thing there. If you're listening to this podcast, we're like, you know, we're going to go see your family. It's an awesome opportunity. You know, last year we didn't able to do it, but you can go still see them in a safe manner. And we hope everybody does. I hope everybody has a great holiday season, enjoys the company of their family members and loved ones in a safe manner. And I hope we get to enjoy, you know, because it's – I'm not sure about you guys, but it wasn't like it was dark flashbacks, but – now, some of the stuff with college hoops games getting canceled like crazy, and also with big soccer fan too, like seeing soccer stuff, you know, Bundesliga went back to no fans in Germany, no fans. Five out of six Premier League games on Saturday got canned. That brought back some flashbacks. And for us who cover sports and who are in every single day, like this stuff, man, like, and our fans out there too, they all know this, man. Like this stuff is like our lifeblood. This is what feeds us and gives us joy and lets us react to stuff every single day and have all these fun conversations that we have. Like that was a tough part of it. And so doing whatever we can to preserve, like having fans back in the stands, like this year, like awesome year in college football, having packed stadiums at watching McLean Stadium against Oklahoma and the kids running on the field right now. Like that was dangerous in some ways, but yet also very cool to see happen. You know, to see a packed Bedlam game was fun. To see Cincinnati fans storm the field as they finished the 13-0 season was really fun. Preservation of that. And that comes from what John's talking about, but the whole look out for each other thing. So quick word here for our sponsors before everybody plugs all of their business. Today's show brought to you by betonline.ag. Go to BetOnline today. You guys can find all of the odds, scores, news, contests that you want. Go to BetOnline. They've got football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer. They've got UFC and boxing. They've also got Vegas casino games. What else could you want? New, sleek look over at betonline.ag. You go to BetOnline today. Promo code LOCKEDON. LOCKEDON, locked on. You'll receive that 50% deposit bonus upon your first deposit. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Mr. Hatch, boom. All right, plug the podcast, your work, and its variety. Where can the folks find you?
Yeah, all the BYU coverage, just search out Locked On Cougars, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all under the same handle. We are free and available like every other podcast all of us do on every podcast platform out there. If you want all of my thoughts on sports, just follow my Twitter handle, Jacob C. Hatch.
John.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams, and you can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Sooners, and on Facebook, Locked On Sooners Podcast, and make sure you go and subscribe on YouTube. Locked On Sooners.
And Steven.
The show on Twitter is at Locked On TCU. I'm at Simcox Steven on Twitter. And Locked On Horned Frogs, anywhere you get your podcast, tune in.
Find me on Twitter at @JoshNeighbors_. Find the show at @LOBig12. You can find the show on Spotify, Google, and Apple. Also find us on YouTube as well. Just look at Locked On Big 12. Gentlemen, I guess we'll see. We'll see each other next week. Yeah, if you guys are available during the holiday season. But everybody enjoy the holidays. Have a good Christmas. All the folks out there, we'll see you all next week.